from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Now that the boys are here again, the boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
Oh, yeah. It is Fresh Fridays, the G and Ursula Show. I'm G. Scott. And, of course, Brother Mace, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to Thin Lizzy.
Nice. The boys are back one more time.
There it is. Hey, I just want to say, you've done a great job this week filling in for Ursula.
Thanks, man.
People have loved you.
Cool.
How you holding up, man? You need a whole... Because here's the thing. I want to pull the curtain back.
Sure.
Mornings ain't your thing.
Right? No. And and going to another job after this one isn't usually my thing either. But you got to do what you got to do.
You sometimes fill in for Dave even earlier, too.
Yeah, Trooper. That's true. That's true. No, man, it's always a pleasure. I really look forward to this, and you know I love hanging out with you and Shep.
Can I admit something to you? And I don't know if it's just me. Today is the Mondayest Friday ever.
Right?
I don't know what it is.
Just talking in the newsroom with some people earlier, and we're like, man, this when did this thing happen? And they're like, Monday. Like, Monday? This is the longest week. What in the world?
Hey, 9:33, our very own Hannah Scott is going to join us and tell us what's happening with the income tax and if that could pass or not in the legislature. So we talk about that at 9:33, but let's get to it. Let's get to Ursula's top stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
All right, we start off in the city of Bellevue, which is adding 24-hour police patrols to that neighborhood where a water main break and landslide displaced multiple families. This comes after a homeowner, armed with a pellet gun, caught a burglar trying to break into her home. See, there are 7 homes that are still at risk, and the homeowners were advised to evacuate. That would-be burglar, though, picked the one house where the owners had chosen not to left. Judy Olson was home alone when she heard someone kick in her basement door, armed herself with a pellet gun. It was a very realistic-looking pistol, and she confronted the man. Her husband, Greg, spoke to Como 4 News.
She saw two legs only. Right there. And she said, "What? You get the hell out of here right now."
And he did. The man fled. Judy called the police, who were unable to apprehend the suspect as of yet. And Bellevue police say that the burglar likely targeted in the home in the belief that all the homeowners were away. G. Scott.
Okay. First of all, I'm glad that this lady's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm really glad of that. I couldn't imagine my fiance being in a situation, or anyone else's significant other being in a situation where they're home alone and the door's kicked in. So I'm glad that she's safe. But here's what stands out to me in this story. What? Did you say that they're now going to add 24-hour patrol to the neighborhood?
That is correct.
Well, I want to make sure I get this straight. Is this a new? Because I ain't never heard of a neighbor of a house being broken into, and then all of a sudden, we are now going to add 24-hour patrol. Must be a Bellevue thing. I don't know.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't know what else to say to this story. I can't get past the 24-hour patrol in the neighborhood. Like, is this a new thing now?
Well, I know that you can, or at least have been able to in the past. Like, if you're going to go on vacation or something, or there's going to be people, if you're going to be out of town, your home's going to be empty for a long time. You can call the police, and they might swoop by every once in a while and check things out, make sure there's nothing fishy. I don't know if that's something that could happen in a big city. But that definitely happens in the suburbs every once in a while. I guess there's it's confusing, man. Like it is. I live here in Seattle, and if something happens, and it doesn't involve like someone being injured, it usually takes quite a long time for the police to show up if they show up at all. That's just how things are right now. The situation over in Bellevue, clearly different. I know that I would be terrified. Like, have you ever been the victim of somebody in your personal space. You know, like somebody has broken into your home or maybe your car, and the feeling is so violating. It's so intense that you will do anything to avoid that feeling again. So I understand what's going on there, but I'm kind of surprised that that a police department these days has the resources to do 24-hour patrols.
425 just texted me and said, "Gee, just look up the Zillow for that neighborhood, then you'll understand right away."
Well, there's that.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. What do you mean there's that? Well, I don't understand. What will I see on Zillow to tell me why that they should have 24-hour patrol?
Well, I hate to break this to you.
Okay, I'm listening.
But policing is different in communities with high real estate values. I don't know if you know that.
Why? Because people, poor people, in their personal belongings aren't as important as rich people and their personal belongings?
Poverty is a moral failing, G. The reason you're poor is because you've done something wrong.
Can I just say, actually, kudos. Like, I understand that there are inequities in the amount of police resources that are devoted to different areas, and a lot of that just has to do with, you know, the zip code, right? But I think it's great that they're doing it. Obviously, they're vulnerable places. These people have been through a lot. They've been through enough. But I got a question, G, because Judy, you're kind of my hero. I'll tell you, G, I will not have a gun in my home, but Judy is kind of inspiring me to buy a pellet gun. I don't want the gun in my house because it's more likely that my kids will get a hold of it or, frankly, someone will end up hurting themselves intentionally with it. However, a pellet gun to scare off a burglar, like if I'm not home, I'm happy to have my wife pick up a pellet gun and wave that at someone. You think that's a good idea?
You better be careful. You better be really careful doing that because, again, I'm just glad nothing happened to this lady. I mean, that's just a scary situation. Could you imagine being in the house? Look, I'm a grown man. And I can't imagine somebody kicked the door. Oh, my goodness, Lord, have mercy. I'm in trouble.
Talk about insecurity.
All right, let's move on. 2 years ago yesterday, the first case of the coronavirus was confirmed in the United States. That was right here in Snohomish County.
The gentleman is a Snohomish County resident, and he is currently at Providence Medical Center.
And G. Scott and Aaron Mason, you probably recognize the voice of Dr. Chris Bitters. You played that clip for the first time, probably the first time you heard from that doc 2 years ago today. 3 days later, your show together on Cairo Nights ended on the 29th. We kicked off the G and Ursula show. On March 23rd, Governor Inslee issued that stay home, stay healthy order for the state that closed all but essential businesses. The world certainly has changed in the last 2 years, G.
It has. And just the fact that Mace and I, we talked about it 2 years ago yesterday. I never thought we would be where we are. And where are we? I mean, we know the numbers on the United States of America, nearly 850,000 Americans. But I want to say where we are here in the state of Washington. We've had over 10,000 people die in this state alone. And even right now, we are still right now, currently today. I don't know if people know this or not, but right now we are losing up to 25 to 35 a day in this state to COVID. So the fact that we're still in this situation, it's just a head scratcher and it's just worrisome. It's bothersome. And so my heart goes out to people and loved ones that are impacted by this still currently today.
Yeah, I remember talking about in the beginning how, because it was all hands on deck here, right? Everyone was like, oh, okay. And we even started doing, the news department here started doing COVID updates over on the sports channel, 710 ESPN.
Right.
And I remember going in there and giving an update, and people were like, well, how long is this going to last? And I remember saying, well, it takes about a year and a half to get a vaccine, usually. It might be a little faster. Technology has progressed, but you know, we're probably going to be in this boat for at least over a year. And remember, like, people laughing at me and saying, like, oh, my, no, that's impossible. And well, no, we'll get a vaccine and then it'll all be over. And what I didn't predict was such reluctance, such opposition to a vaccine. And, you know, it's almost changed my enjoyment of movies. Because you ever see like aliens invade or a virus breaks out and humanity bands together and we win? I just I don't know about that banding together part anymore. They're just people who don't want to accept what's going on. And that for me in the last 2 years has probably been the most eye opening thing about my fellow Americans.
You know, I have to take a positive spin on this because I know it's been there just aren't words to describe what everyone has gone through in the last 2 years. At the same time, while our society may have never had that coming together kumbaya moment, we're all going to rally and fight this. There are a lot of people that have showed their resilience. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have showed our resilience. People are still showing up to work every day when they can. There are people doing the best for their families, for their communities. You know, we had this latest round where we all got sent home from the Cairo studios. And the first time it was just unfathomable. But, you know, with every new little hurdle that comes up, even though it is just so exhausting, I also know that we've been through a lot. And we can handle a lot. Mm-hmm. We've proven that. Mm-hmm. And so society-wide, it might not be a net positive, but I'm really proud of a lot of people in our community.
Hear, hear.
All right. Okay. Obviously, you've heard about these organized retail theft rings. There have been a lot of headlines around the country. Retail theft has been on the rise here locally as well. And there is a bill to combat that, getting a hearing in Olympia today. Here's what it would do. It would allow store workers to confront people before they leave the store and ask them, hey, are you planning on paying for that? See, under current Washington laws, store employees can't approach someone until after they leave the store. Representative Dan Griffey, who sponsored this bill for several years now, he addressed basically the only criticism of it, and that is it could lead to more people of color being harassed by workers accusing them of
theft. We just got to stop it. This is not a race thing. This is not, a community's disparaged community thing. It's just, can we engage people when it's safe to engage them? Can we just say, hey, are you going to pay for that? And I think it is common sense legislation that is long overdue to fix.
Yo. If Ursula was here, she'd be proud. She always loves when I give numbers. That's just her thing. So check this out. $2.7 billion, everybody. $2.7 billion is how much is stolen. Oh, wait. Not in this country. In the state of Washington. It is number two. It is second in the nation. This according to the Retail Industry Leaders Association. This is usually a time where I know I'm quite sure some of you are thinking, oh boy, G's going to say he doesn't like this. If there's something that I don't like, I can't stand a thief. I cannot stand a thief. As a matter of fact, this is the truth. I think that we are way too light on thieves. And the reason why people are stealing is because they know they can. When I was younger, you want to know the number one reason why I didn't steal? Because I thought I'd get in trouble.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
Like, I thought I would get in trouble if I stole something. So that's why I didn't steal. Now, my mind is a lot better. I'm older. I'm more mature. Now I don't steal because it's not right. You see the difference? And so what I'm saying is that we have a huge problem. Now, the big stores, the Targets, the Walmarts, and all those stores, they're fine. But these business owners that put their savings into places to have people come in and run. My homeboy, my friend of mine, just had his T-shirt business. Listen to this, guys. It's a true story. Down here, downtown Tacoma, he owns a T-shirt place, printing. Three times. in less than 30 days, his business was broken into. I can't stand a thief. So my point is, I'm agreeing with this. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm agreeing.
So there's a few different things going on here, a few different plates spinning. One is the difference between a big retail outlet and a small independent business. And the other is the idea of preventing a crime before it happens, as opposed to punishing a crime after it happens, right? There are places where the penalty for theft is you get your hand cut off, but there people still steal, right? Because they're desperate, they have to, whatever's going on. This is about prevention, right? Which is good. There are big retail outlets that I think handle this well. I'm talking about Best Buy, Costco. Last time I was in either of those stores, they checked my receipt when I left, right? You go out the door. If you've got merchandise, there's somebody positioned there to make sure you paid for that stuff. That's something that bigger businesses could do, should do. Smaller independent places, that's different. They may not be able to hire another person on staff. And so this gives them the opportunity to confront someone who's acting a certain way. And if you've ever been in customer service, my other job is as a bartender, and I know right away when someone walks through the door if they're going to be a problem or could be a problem. You have that sense. And so for me, this is just enabling that to take action.
Man.
I like this. You know, I mean, why are we giving the thieves a head start, saying, go ahead, get on out the store, and then we'll chase you. We'll give you a 100-yard head start.
Right.
Go for it. This is common sense to me.
Income tax. Y'all ready? You ready to put that income? You ready to start paying that income tax? You ready to see that income, that state income tax attached to your check? Well, Hannah Scott is going to join us to tell us what new information she has on the possibility of this being passed in the current legislature. We do that next. G and Ursula with Mace. Happy Friday, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is spending one of her last days on vacation. She'll be back next week. And coming up at 9:45, we need to talk. And Mace, you're going to... I know who Meatloaf is. May he rest in peace. He passed away. And, of course, Louis Anderson passed away as well. But I think we need to talk. And this would be a great opportunity for you and maybe our listeners to... fill me in on who Meatloaf was. I mean, I know who he is, I didn't really know too much, all right?
Yeah.
So we do that at 9:45, and I love to learn, so let's do that. Could we get an income tax in Washington State? Well, let's bring in Cairo News Radio's Hannah Scott. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, G.
Good morning.
Okay, first of all, an income tax is still unconstitutional in Washington State, correct?
That's right. Income is property. Property has to be uniform, so you cannot have a graduated income tax, and that's what this proposal would do. Actually, there was, in 2019, an appeals court made a decision in a case that left open the ability for local jurisdictions to have a 1% flat income tax, which is not what any of those who push for income tax wants. They want it to be graduated so you can tax the wealthy, basically. But this proposal from Democratic Senator Bob Hasegawa is about making it so local jurisdictions can have that graduated income tax. And what it would do would allow them to do that as long as they meet certain conditions. And one of those conditions would be to first repeal the more uniform taxes, which include things like your sales tax, your property tax, B&O taxes for cities, and public utility tax, I believe, are the ones that could be repealed. They'd have to be repealed by 75% for that local city or county. Then you could enact this graduated income tax. But you'd also still have to get a constitutional amendment. So here's what Bob Hasegawa had to say, because he did get a hearing, which I was actually a little surprised about just this week. And here's what he had to say about why.
Whether or not it is, this
illegal.
Prepares us for the day if and when it is determined that it is constitutional. If a city wants to impose the income tax and go through this conversion process by eliminating regressive taxes, then so be it, and let the battle begin on the legal front. But this conversation does need to be had by our state, because we see people suffer. Homelessness is, you all are dealing with that whole issue, and it seems like there's no solutions available, no end in sight.
No end in sight, no way to bring in more money without, because the only way we get that money for the is really property taxes, and that's a whole nother issue that is a problem for a lot of people. Now, there was 190 some odd people signed up in this hearing, all of them opposed, including Jeff.
The cover story on this sounds really nice on its face and saying, hey, you know, we're going to get rid of this one and we're going to go along with that one. To be honest, I find that extremely disingenuous. And in fact, I really don't trust you folks down on this one in any way, shape or form. So I am strongly against this. My group is against this.
And then he went on to say later that
I have a really, really huge problem with this bill. I mean, sometimes I really have to wonder about you folks down in Olympia. Do you sit back and you try and think of, say, how can we nail taxpayers today?
Right. And that was pretty much the gist all around.
I also have objections to this bill big time. It seems to me, guys, it's just another excuse when you do something like this and do not get allow the taxpayer to have their say. I have a problem with it. I mean, are we not taxed out enough already? I believe we are.
And one more. There was just a few people who actually spoke. Most of them signed in and just put their position on paper.
Do not need new taxes. We need more fiscal responsibility in Olympia. The citizens of Washington are struggling under government overreaction to COVID-19. And we've also had a real problem with a lack of accountability. And we already have a problem with local governments levying taxes in a punitive way on property owners. Senator Hasegawa said it comes down to money. Well, if he's concerned that taxes are regressive, affecting people, why unleash new taxes?
And that was basically just, I will say that not one lawmaker that was on the committee that was hearing this bill had any questions for the sponsor. They just wanted to move on, it kind of seemed like. So
yeah, and one of those things, I mean, it's not like everybody showed up. Who showed up? I mean, anybody show up to testify to support this?
No, that's what I'm literally, yeah. No one.
Yeah.
No one.
All right. Well, Hannah Scott, happy Friday to you. We really appreciate your time, my friend.
All right. You guys have a good weekend.
Thanks,
right,
Hannah.
You too. Man, you know, Mace.
Yeah.
I'm in support of the income tax.
Yeah.
But like you said to me this morning, I'm not for the old okay pinky swear. We'll implement the income tax and then we'll look at getting rid of the other taxes. Nah, player.
Right.
You got to get rid of them other taxes first.
Also, the thing about taxes that like if I was to start society from scratch, right? I would have an income tax, a percentage based on what you make. That's what I would do. The problem is that we're not getting what we pay for. And I think if we got what we paid for, people would be much more willing to pay their taxes because they're getting something out of it, something tangible. That's the bottom line for me.
All right. Hey, coming up next, Meatloaf passed away this morning along with Louis Anderson. I know who Louis Anderson is. One of my favorite skits of him is, of course, when he worked at McDowell's and Coming to America.
That's right, yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, classic. Yeah.
But Meatloaf, this is an opportunity for you, the listener, and for Aaron Mason to let me know what I miss and what I need to better understand about Meatloaf. We do that next. Gene Ursula with Mace filling in. Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. It is the G and Ursula Show. Mace fills in for Ursula. Coming up at 10 o'clock for the top 3 things that you need to know at 10. our very favorite Michael Medved will be joining the show. We always love talking to Michael. Those conversations can sometimes be spirited, calm, but they're always with respect. Mm-hmm. Right now, we need to talk Meatloaf. And I know of Meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that he just passed away today. And I thought that this would be, I mean, it's easy for me to go online and do all that, but this would be a great time for me to learn more about Meatloaf. And I thought maybe Mace, you can help me out with this.
Yeah. So I'm not like a big Meatloaf fan necessarily. There are super fans out there. Coincidentally, I just remembered this. When I lived in New Jersey, I went to a dentist, and my dentist was like a Meatloaf super fan, and he had this huge plaque on his wall with like pictures of him with Meatloaf and like backstage passes mounted. It was just the strangest thing. I always thought it was so funny. But I'm a product of the 90s. That's like I was a teenager in the 90s, and that's really when Meatloaf had his heyday, and you couldn't get away from him. First of all, his name is Meatloaf. That's can you think of a better stage name than Meatloaf? And you're like a big, fat, sweaty guy. That struck me as funny. So I'm like, what's up with this dude? He was really unique, and I'm always a fan of people who try and do something differently. So like back in the 70s, when he started, like the late 70s, mm-hmm. he put out his first album. It sounded really strange compared to what else was going on. It was more like a Broadway musical. It was really theatrical and layered, and he didn't write his songs. His partner Jim Steinman did it. Had this album written, gave it to Mr. Loaf, and the dude just had this voice and belted it out, and people really, really liked it. He had that number one song in the 90s, and I think it was 94. He won a Grammy for I Would Do Anything for Love, parentheses, but I won't do that. Do you know that song, G?
It doesn't sound familiar. Nick, get that rounded up real quick. It doesn't sound familiar.
I'll give you some love. I would do. Yeah.
This is a little sample of I'd Do Anything for You, but yeah, he's got that opera rock vibe going on.
I would do anything for love. Oh, you know that song.
Oh.
You know that song.
Hey, that's a jam,
yeah,
right,
man.
There. Okay.
But I won't do that.
He's okay.
Just sweating.
Okay. Man.
But
here's what I've learned so far.
Uh-huh.
Hold up, back up. You mean to tell me, like, Meatloaf, like, that was his government name?
No. He was born, I think it was Michael Aday, is his.
Okay.
He was actually born Marvin Aday. He's from Dallas. His dad was a cop, gee. He was born in Dallas, and he wanted a different stage name, and he settled on Meatloaf, kind of playing into his appearance, because he was always a pretty big dude. And then he's kind of always had health problems. He lost his voice there for a while, and he decided, you know, at some point in the 90s, I think I'm gonna start like doing some more acting, because he did have experience on the stage. He was a stage actor when he was younger. His first movie was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
Remember that? 1975. And then in the 90s, he started showing up in a bunch of things I was watching. He's in Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Yeah. He's the bouncer at the club that they talk to before they go into the club. He was in Spice World. You remember the Spice Girls movie?
Yeah,
he was their bus driver. And then probably his most famous movie role was in Fight Club. He was Bob. He was the guy that Edward Norton's character met at the group therapy and was later killed. And all the guys said, his name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. That was Meatloaf. And he was great. I thought he did an excellent job as an actor. I was pretty impressed.
You know the first rule in Fight Club, right?
I do. Did I violate it?
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Uh-huh.
Second rule, you do not talk about Fight Club. Anyway.
A little redundant, but it works.
Hey, okay, so Wow. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't realize that song. That was amazing.
Yeah. Sold a ton of records, man.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, when's the last time you've had meatloaf? Chef, when's the last? Because back in the day, I'm from Chicago. I'm from the Midwest. We had meatloaf at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mainstay. And I can't remember the last time I said, hey, man, how was your weekend? Oh, man, you know, Mildred made some meatloaf and it was mean. It was pretty good. Like, do people
it was Tuesday.
Do people still Tuesday. Eat meatloaf? Oh, you just had meatloaf?
Yeah, on Tuesday, man. I love meatloaf.
I love a good fantastic. Meatloaf. Yep.
Hey, my homeboy's mom in the neighborhood, she made the best meatloaf. And guess what her secret was?
Hmm.
Oatmeal.
Mm.
Yeah, she used to mix that oatmeal in there. Boy, that meatloaf used to put me to sleep.
Did you put ketchup on it?
Absolutely.
All right, good, good.
Absolutely.
The only right answer.
I thought I was gonna have to leave the show. I didn't know if we could continue.
Oh man, absolutely.
Good.
All right. Well, good stuff. I learned some things, Chef. Thank you. Mace had to teach me.
I know. Me too. I don't remember the meatloaf face. Just the meatloaf for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
Ah. Ooh, Dennis in Seattle said meatloaf and grits. Yo, I have never had that combination, and why does that sound amazing?
Mm.
Man, I like the song.
It's a great song.
Hey, coming up next, Michael Medved joins the show. And the one question that we have for him right off the bat is, it's been 1 year since President Biden took office. Is America better off than it was a year ago? We discussed that with him. Happy Friday. It's the Gene Ursula Show with Mace.
Rest in peace, Meatloaf.
Some days it don't come easy.